Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A picture creates controversy at Girl State. Petition drives are underway to subvert South Dakota's current initiated measure process. And the conversation around riot-boosting legislation shifts. Our Dakota political junkies are with us. Former state lawmaker and South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame inductee Noel Hamill is in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Rapid City studio. And by phone from Madison, John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader, returns. Okay, let's get started with this photo controversy from Girl State. So this is a student who was in attendance at Girl State, and she took a picture. She posted it on social media, and things came a little unraveled. So, John Hunter, let's start with you, because the picture, for those who have not seen it, is of Governor Kristi Noem kind of in the background. And then the student is holding up a cup or like a coffee mug that she's decorated to say that she's celebrating Donald Trump's impeachment day. So it's sort of a meme. It's a joke. It's satire. It's what is it, John Hunter? What do you call the picture itself?
Well, I haven't seen the picture, so I feel less informed about this kind of thing. But it does trigger the idea that there are cell phone cameras everywhere. So I think there are all sorts of opportunities for people to take pictures of things and broadly disseminate them very quickly.
All right. And the student left Girl State. She says she was ejected from the program. Girl State officials say she left of her own accord, and she called her father to come pick her up. When you go to Girl State, for those who don't know, these are high school students who come from across the state there's a boys state, there's a girl state. They come to learn about state government. You turn in your car keys when you arrive because it's a camp. So this student apparently called her father, and he came and picked her up. Noel, part of what's happening with this is this idea that the governor and other people sort of applied some kind of pressure, the girl says, to get rid of the picture. They didn't really like it. They found it disrespectful.
Well, you know, like in many news stories, it's early, and I haven't seen the news reports on it, but Girl State, and I happen to have a daughter that went to that. You know, it's an invitation thing. It's all about government, not politics. I guess what I'd like to know is what are the guidelines or what are the rules that girls agree to when they participate? It is invitation only. And so when you, and it's an honor, by the way. And so when you say, yeah, I'd love to go to Girl State, and you're nominated and you go, that's part of the package. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity for young people, and I did see the picture. So apparently she enjoys staging photos that she thinks are amusing, and this impeached Trump mug with Governor Noem in the background was one of them, as you mentioned, and Senator Thune in a different one when he spoke. Where was it? Was it Roosevelt High School?
I believe so, yeah.
So she gets a kick out of this. It's kid stuff. I think it's humorous to some, and to others, it's you know, disrespectful. I guess if the governor goes to Girl State to speak, and she stages this photo, you know, she has a right to do that. I just think it was kind of silly for her to do that, and I wouldn't condone it. But at the same time, unless there's a specific guideline or rule for Girl State's participants to keep politics out of this camp that you learn about government, I mean, you know, she has a right to do that. And just based on the very little I know about it, I think that it looks like an overreaction on the part of Girl State, and as far as the pressure exerted by Governor Noem or her office, I don't have any information about
right.
that.
So Girl State is saying she left of her own of her own free will, so I think they would argue it's not an overreaction if we didn't ask her to leave. We just challenged her on what we were talking about. And John Hunter, as far as I know, And I have not checked this in detail, but there is no social media, you know, barrier or, you know, policy saying you may not do this or you have to turn over your phones in girl state. There's not a lot of restriction on what they can say about the event. Do you think, John Hunter, that there really should be? Have times changed to where, or is that the exact, you know, fear here that there is going to be some kind of pushback where people say you can't, you know, speak up about how you feel about a guest speaker, for example, at Girl State?
Right. I understand the dichotomy that we've got in a kind of a changed world. I went to Boys State many decades ago and remember it as a kind of a government education camp.
Yeah.
You'd learn about how government works and so forth, and it really wasn't I don't remember much of kind of a being Republican or Democrat as part of that, and I have times changed probably where we have a very divided nation and people seem to react to things purely whether the proposal has an R or a D after it. So if some people are so strong R's that they oppose anything that's a D and vice versa. So, and then you get kind of today this idea of staging a picture, or it's almost a Photoshop picture because
yeah. It's a meme. I'm calling it a meme. Yeah. In the sense that it's kind of a joke.
Agreed.
I mean, I have not talked to the student. I'm guessing as I look at it, I think of it as something that's kind of circulated in high school social media circles. It's a quip, really. It's a visual quip.
Right. So Governor Noem is smiling in the picture. I've now seen it. And in the foreground, which she is unaware of, has this message. So it's, you know, I guess you could Photoshop the same thing. It wouldn't be much different. The same thing with Senator Thune. So, yeah, I don't know, responsible? Should we, I think maybe teaching responsibility. I mean, not banning it, but saying, you know, there's some good things and bad things with this, and maybe this isn't the forum for you to do this. I guess I'd lend myself to trying to teach something at the camp itself about responsible political behavior.
What I'm really curious about, Noel, is really what happens next as the student speaks out and shares messages received from other students. And there could be, I mean, take a breath. There might be some repercussions one way or the other for a student's future if they aren't very careful about how they respond to certain things at this point.
You know, it's about the forum. I mean, this is a camp that you're privileged to attend. It's about learning about government. And I just think it's kind of unfortunate that was used as a platform to take this kind of a photo and put it on social media. I certainly go along with John. I mean, certainly her political views, I mean, she can, you know, state them and do what she would. But I think that, I just think it's kind of unfortunate that you have Girl State that's subjected to a distraction like this when the whole idea is to learn about government, how to get along with differing views, and now we've got this little dust-up. I think it's unfortunate.
And others would argue, boy, she sure did learn about government, didn't she?
Well, she learned about
how it
politics.
Works. Yeah. She learned about politics. All right, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about recent legislation, because as the session ended, there are some things that are still, you know, as always, being debated, including this look at the initiated and referendum process and some petitions going around, hoping to roll back some of those changes and refer them to the voters. John Hunter, this is not necessarily a surprise, is it, that House Bill 1094, which was looking to create a registry of petition circulators, require them to wear badges, that would be, there would be attempts to refer it to voters.
Right. And frankly, this, I think, will be a football that gets tossed back and forth for some time. Again, it's kind of drawn at least a little bit on party lines, that Republicans are at least perceived as trying to squash the process, and Democrats in the position of trying to keep that open and maybe even expanding it. There's a lot of discussion about whether this is relative to other states. How do we stand in this thing? And so I think it'll probably go back and forth. It'll end up, you know, they go to court at different times and are challenged at the ballot box. And when I say go to court, sometimes there are constitutional issues with restricting certain activities and so on. So, I would guess this would kind of keep going. Each legislative session, legislators will pass something and the governor will sign, and then people will oppose that and try to reverse that, and vice versa, where you have things initiated by voters that the legislature has issue with. So I would guess this would continue for some time.
What's at stake here, Judd Hunter, as we look at this process? Because it's the process that's being, adjusted or attacked, depending on your point of view.
I think what the best scenario for both sides to do is to have a process that would allow for initiated measures or referred measures that doesn't get tainted by some other factors that make it kind of outside the idealism of what you're trying to do. In other words, if you have, if there's hired guns come from out of state to do certain things, funded maybe by someone that has an unobjective stake in the game, you really want it to be about the issue itself and not necessarily about the process. So I think what some of that is trying to do, if you have registered circulators, or they have to say they're circulators, or they have to do things in a certain manner, I think that's just an attempt to try to do it well, but then it maybe goes overboard and tries to restrict the process. I'm proud of South Dakota's process, that we can do these things from a citizen standpoint. If it gets out of control now and then, maybe has to be kind of I shouldn't say controlled, because that's not what you're trying to do, but to somehow manage that, but while still keeping it as open as available to citizens as you can.
Hmm. Noel Hamill, some people would argue that when you're trying to tweak that process at all, you're really interfering with that free speech. Who's to say that an out-of-state petitioner can't come petition in South Dakota? That's what we're... What are we talking about here, Noel?
Oh, my gosh. We saw this with Initiated Measure 24, right? I mean, we saw the voters of South Dakota approve that, which, had a objective of limiting outside influence, but the law was found to be unconstitutional by Judge Kornman. I don't know. The writing of these laws is pretty darn difficult, I think. When I was in federal court last week listening to the pipeline motions, I thought, boy, these laws, they were just getting picked apart. If I could digress just a second, I remember in 2009 I was involved in a bill that would require 5% of qualified electors in half of the counties be involved in initiative and referendum petitions. And my whole idea was, I didn't think it was right that petition carriers just go to the Sioux Falls Empire Mall and gather petitions and get it on the ballot. I wanted rural South Dakota to be involved in the process. And, that didn't go over, particularly with Larry Roden, who really kind of gave me a hard time in state affairs. And it passed the House, but it really went down in the Senate. We're always trying to make the process better. I don't think the idea is to shut out South Dakotans. We want South Dakotans to be involved. We want them to be part of the process. But this idea of outside influence is really vexing to some people, and rightly so. But I don't know how you do it constitutionally. So it's going to be a long process, and I would expect a lot more legal challenges down the road.
John mentioned outside people funding things, and Noel, you mentioned the hearing in federal court about the riot-boosting pipeline conversation. So let's talk about that for a little bit, because we have a little bit of audio here. But Noel, you were in the courtroom. SDPB's Victoria Wicks was in the courtroom, and she covered this story. And one of the questions that Judge Pearsall was asking was, Deputy Attorney General Richard Williams, mm-hmm. talked about these laws and said they only apply during a riot. Someone who gives money away or supports months earlier, cannot be held liable. So we have a little audio back from when Governor Kristi Noem sort of set this up, and here is what she first said about the announcement.
We also, the second part of the legislative package creates a second fund and legal remedies to pursue out-of-state money funding many of these riots aimed at shutting down the pipeline build. So many of the times when these construction projects get created and are started and happen, we see out-of-state people come into the state with out-of-state money funding a very disruptive riot that shuts down progress. And this second piece of legislation that we put forward today allows us to go after them and those money funders to make sure that that does not happen here in South Dakota. So to the best of our knowledge, this type of approach has not happened anywhere in the nation before. And this next generation pipeline construction model was developed to directly address issues caused by out-of-state rioters funded by out-of-state interests that have attacked nearby projects. The current model for developing major energy infrastructure projects clearly needed to have an update.
It's Governor Kristi Noem during the legislative session, and when asked who are these outside funders, here's what she had to say.
And I'd say the most typical national offender that we see funding these types of activities would be George Soros. So those types of entities that want to come in and create disruption on a build with this infrastructure is what we're hoping to shut down.
So, Noel, that argument changed a little bit in federal court. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I watched Judge Pearsall go through many of the sections and subsections of both of those bills, and yeah, he really was had a number of challenges for Deputy Attorney General Williams. The one of the rubs, not the only one, but the judge really focused on what he thought was a discrepancy by saying that the bill's intention was to include not just inflammatory speech at an event itself, but speech elsewhere, based on the governor's statements that you just aired. Williams said the only speech that the bill addresses was that made at the riot itself. And I can only assume from this exchange that the judge believes that the bill isn't what the state said it is. In fact, he pretty much said that. And so I would be not surprised if Judge Pearsall issues an order on this injunction probably within the hour or the day. it has that emergency clause attached to it. I would guess that he would rule, one scenario would be that he will rule for the plaintiffs either on part of these bills or just all of them. But that's, sitting in the courtroom, he really was interrogating Williams, and I would have liked more discussion on whether or not at least 189 really limits First Amendment rights, because that's what the complaint says.
John Hunter, your thoughts on this, and really, why did the conversation change from when it was first rolled out to standing in the courtroom?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I hope I don't take up the whole hour with this, because it's a huge issue and it's very complicated. But the your question, Lori, certainly is how has that changed? And remember that this bill was passed kind of at the last minute. It was a vacant bill all the way through the session, kind of thrown together. I don't know what negotiations took out on behind closed doors, but it did have little public input through the usual process that we go through the legislature, so it doesn't surprise me that it didn't have some of the fine-tuning that it would require, a bill would require, if it went through the process in a normal manner. But it's hard to separate, and certainly for Governor Noem, I think she's clearly thinking about this Keystone pipeline and its and being supportive of that kind of energy thing. And if you write a law specifically for a particular project instead of kind of in general, those things, they're two different issues, whether we should have a riot-boosting bill or restriction on that sort of stuff, and whether this pipeline is good or not. And so those are two issues. They should try to be separated as best they can. But I'm very concerned about of saying, you know, you can't protest and that sort of thing. On the other hand, I'm very supportive of that if people destroy property, are violent, and injure other people, that there should be consequences for that. So, you know, if a contractor is on site legally to do something and you destroy that property, burn whatever, those kind of things, yes, there should be some, you know, some consequences. The idea of protesting is an American tradition, and it should be kept. Generally, it's regarded as peaceable protest is what we're after. Assemble peaceably and petition the government for redress and so forth. So it's a very complicated issue. I don't want to talk all day and hog the conversation, but I agree with Noel that I think it's going to be challenged and it's going to go back and forth, and I think that they probably will issue, or the judge would issue a temporary injunction to hold this thing for now.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it more in the future. Noel Hamel and John Hunter, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori.